was reading through some dad jokes, and I wanted to share a couple with you, because I don't think that you've heard a couple of these. So let me just give you two, okay? What do you call an elephant that doesn't matter? Irrelevant. What do you call a pile of cats? A meountain. You got it. Leave it to a kid. I think dads actually learn those jokes from the kids. Now, let me say this. For those of you who came in, dads that came in the door, and you got our Father's Day gift, and you have no need for a comb, I have an idea that I want to just suggest to you to get the maximum use of that comb, and it's called, this is called the mustache comb over. You grow the mustache out, and you just comb it right over, and then you can use that comb to take that right over, okay? So, all right, we're totally done with all the jokes. We're done with all the jokes. Okay, shut that off. Now we're moving on to talk about what the Lord is doing in the book of Exodus. If you'll turn with me, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15 today. I just wanted to start us off with something fun. I hope you had a great breakfast this morning here. I appreciate Kat Burke so much coming up and providing that for us. She just does such a great job. You know, when you take a journey, you never know if it's really going to turn out the way that you plan. You ever notice that? When you start off on a journey somewhere, you just never know how you're going to end up. And if any of you have ever seen the movie, it's an old movie from the 1980s called Vacation, Chevy Chase movie. He heads out, they're going to Wally World, right? And they head on this road trip with the family, and it's just an absolute disaster. The car breaks down, all these things, Aunt Edna dies, and all these different things happen to them. And then they end up at their destination, at the place, and Wally World is closed after all of that. We'll think about it. I think sometimes what we do is we have the end in mind when we're making plans, and we want things between now and the point where we reach that plan, we want things to go our way, and we want them to go really smoothly, and we want it to be very comfortable along the journey, right? I mean, it's just the way that when we start to envision these things, we have these pictures of grandeur sometimes, and I think that that's where the people of Israel were when they were crying out to God. Philip Brooks, he's a pastor from the 1800s. I thought this was an interesting quote. He warns, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your power. Pray for power equal to your tasks." Because listen, you never know what the Lord's going to use and how he's going to use certain things and certain events to shape you, but we have to be willing to be shaped. Amen? So in our story, Israel, you know, it just dreams of this one day of living free. They're in bondage to the Egyptians. And we hear that when they started crying out to God, and God hears their cries, right? And for the past several weeks, we've seen how this all has played out. So God sends Moses to Egypt to set the people free. God promises two things. He says, "I will free you, I will set you free, and I will lead you to the promised land." Okay, those are the two promises that God gives them. So after a lot of suffering and plagues and misery in Egypt, Moses leads the Israelites out of bondage, and God destroys the remainder of the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. Okay, so Moses had led them through the Red Sea. The Red Sea closes in on the Egyptians, and and now Pharaoh and the Egyptians are gone and they're completely out of the story. We don't hear of them anymore. And the journey to the promised land really begins. And here they are. And so I want you to turn, we're going to look at chapter 15 of Exodus, and we're going to start in verse 21. And it says this, "And Miriam," which is Moses and Aaron's sister, "sang to them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea.'" Actually, almost the entire chapter 15 is a song of praise, praising God that of these wonderful works that God has done and how he has delivered them from the Egyptians. And so that's verse 21. Look at verse 22. "Then Moses made Israel set out for the from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. When they came to Mareh, they could not drink the water of Mareh because it was bitter. Therefore, it was named Mareh." Mareh means bitter. Verse 24, "And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' And he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. And there the Lord made for them a statue," it says in verse 25, or a statute and a rule. "And there he tested them, saying, 'If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his eyes, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer.'" Verse 27, "Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water." So here were the people. This is 3 days into their journey, and they're complaining again. They're complaining to Moses. And we see, just as we've seen all along, that when the going gets tough, the Israelites get complaining, right? And they get grumbling. And you're probably thinking, you know, how in the world could they possibly be grumbling after seeing all these incredible miracles and plagues they put on Egypt and how he has delivered them from the Egyptians, a pillar of fire by day, cloud by night? I mean, how could you possibly not believe? But I'll tell you, we're all like this. We're all like this. We'll see miracles. We'll see God doing incredible things. We'll see testimonies of people that God has worked in their lives. We'll see the wonders of the Lord as we step out of our homes. We look at the sunshine. We look at all that God has done for us, how he has created us, how he has shaped us. We see all of these things, and then we forget. Why is that? I remember when I was in high school, and I shared this on Wednesday night a few weeks ago, but when I was in high school, I was praying to God. I was having a bad moment. I want you to remember, I was an atheist at this time. I didn't believe in God. I rolled my eyes when I heard the name of Jesus. And so here I was, and I was just calling out to the ether, okay? I wouldn't say I was praying to God, but I was really praying. And I was saying, "God, if you're real, prove it. Show me you're real." Well, 1 hour later, I pick a girl up to go to the movies. We're driving to the movies. We run out of gas. This is a perfect date, right? We run out of gas. We're walking down the road. I have a gas can in my hand. And a lady pulls over the side of the road, and she picks us up. She takes us to the gas station. I'm pumping gas, and she looks very nervous. Kind of, she gets out of the car, and she's kind of pacing around, and she says, "I have to tell you this." She says, "When I got a mile past you, I felt like God was speaking to me, and he told me to turn around, come back to you, pick you up, and tell you that he sent me, and that he is real." And I was in shock. But 3 days later, I was starting to talk myself out of that miracle, convincing myself that it was just a coincidence. And then I carried on. And what was the difference between now and then? It's now I have faith in him. And when I see things like this, I honor things like this. When I see him at work, I praise him when he's at work in my life. When I see him at work in nature, I praise him and I glorify him and I thank him for it and I recognize and give him all the glory for it. Okay? And so what was happening is here is Moses and he's working with these people who were lacking in faith. They were lacking in faith. And you remember earlier on in Exodus chapter 6, verse 9, it said they did not listen to Moses. In other words, they didn't listen to the Lord because Moses was a spokesperson for the Lord. And it says they did not listen to Moses because of their harsh treatment in Egypt and because of their broken spirit. And so they take this broken spirit with them, this harsh treatment, and this defeatism, okay? And now they're still living this out. And we can write everything off as believers, as coincidence. And all that does is keep shrinking your faith. Shrinking your faith. No matter how amazing the miracle, it won't really do its work if it's not seen as through the eyes of faith. His work, if it's not seen through the eyes of faith, it's really not going to accomplish what God is hoping to accomplish and aiming to accomplish in your life. Have you ever known someone who complains all the time? Maybe it's you. Okay? And maybe you don't even know it. Right? And when things get a little uncomfortable, you start grumbling, or when things get a little out of hand and the plans start to sort of unravel, and things are not kind of just the way you want them and the way you're planning, you begin to sow these seeds of complaints and grumbling. This is what was happening here. And Moses, here's this man, he has the weight of the world on his shoulders, okay? I mean, some scholars say there's probably close to 1 million people with him, okay? If not many, many thousands of people with him. And so he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. He's got to make sure they're fed. And what Moses is doing is he's learning about faith. And as he goes, he's growing in the faith, and he's trying to teach them how to live by faith while he himself is trying to do the same thing. And so so they journey on, and now they're 30 days into the wilderness. And so they didn't have anything to drink, and now they're 30 days into the journey. Look at chapter 16 in verse 2. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger," griping, complaining. And what they're saying there in verse 3 is they're saying, you know, back in Egypt, we had it pretty good, really, you know, because we had food and we could eat a little bit. And so it really wasn't that bad. And so here they are pointing back to the old life and something that we probably do a lot, right? We come to the Lord, okay? And then we have a decision. Either we trust him, we live by faith, or we live the way we used to live, okay? Living by faith is not real easy, okay? Because we got to step out in faith, and we got to speak in faith, and we got to do things in faith. And so it's not a real easy thing to do. And so what happens with Christians is we get real mundane, and we settle into a non-faith kind of Christianity. I have no idea why and how this happens. But instead of operating and functioning as a person of faith, living by the Spirit, what we do is we live by the flesh. And what was happening with the people here is they were just operating and functioning as slaves, people who were bound, okay? And I want to remind you, this whole story is a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of the deliverer, okay? And so when we look at the life of Moses and how he has lived this out, when these people were freed from the bondage of slavery in Egypt, it pictures God's people today being freed from the bondage of sin, all right? When we see that final plague of the lamb, when you slay the lamb and you put the blood over the doorpost and the angel of death comes through, and we've talked about this for the last couple weeks, if you haven't heard this, sorry, but that's a picture of Jesus' sacrifice and his blood being shed, covering you. And when the angel of death passes over you, it's a picture of your eternal life being secure in Christ by the shed blood of Jesus, okay? And so we see all of this playing out in the story. And so when we look back and we read these people, it's so easy to say, look at their grumbling. This is ridiculous. Look at all these miracles they saw. It's so easy for us to say that. But look, let's turn it on ourselves. Would we be grumblers too? Well, that all depends on how much you have prepared your faith, right? And how you've lived up to this point. Because if tomorrow something really significant happens, a pressure, a stress, a difficulty, something comes in to crush you, it's going to bring that faith to the surface, or it's going to show that there wasn't any faith. And so that's what's happening with the people, and Moses is trying to manage through this. And so in chapter 16, verse 4, God tells Moses that he will rain down bread from heaven. So God is always providing, right? In verse 16, or chapter 16, verse 8, if you look at the end of that, it says, Moses says, your grumbling is not against us, but against God. You are grumbling against God. You're aiming all of your griping and your complaints against a God who has delivered you and provided for you and continues to provide for you. And so we see Moses knew to always direct their eyes back to the Lord, dependency on him, dependency on him. Why? Because Moses had matured in the faith. And he was learning to do the same thing. And he was trying to mature them and to fix their eyes on the Lord. And this, it reminds me of when the devil took Jesus up onto the high mountain. And Jesus, it says he was without food for quite a while, right? You remember this? Okay. And so he was weak. He was physically weak. He hadn't eaten. He had fasted. And then the devil takes him up and shows him all that he could have. And then here, listen to what the devil says to Jesus. And the tempter, the devil, came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, and this is what Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. So here are the people of Israel, and they're complaining, I need food. I need water, okay? They're 30 days, and here's Jesus, and he's gone about 30 days, right? Without food, with very little to eat, and no water. And you take both of those scenarios, but what Jesus is saying is he's teaching us here that our dependency is not on all these things. Our dependency is on the Lord, and he will supply all our needs. We depend on him. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. This is what Moses is teaching his people. And the people had to learn, listen, the promised land was a place for a people of faith. You want to get there? You've got to go through some things, and you have to learn some things if you're going to get to that promised land. This is a time of preparation. Listen, the earth, you today living on this earth, this is a time of preparation. This is not all there is, okay? And God will one day, this earth will pass away, okay? You will die from this earth, and you will go on to the promised land, hopefully. If you have trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will go on to the promised land. Well, what is this earth all about? It's about preparation. It's about preparing you for the promised land. God is preparing his people in the wilderness for what? For the promised land. Will they get there? Will they get there? But these miracles and works of God, they just weren't sticking. They were living circumstantially, and so they were kind of, they would feel miserable with their circumstances, and instead of turning to him in faith, they would grumble and gripe. And let me ask you, how about you? Where do you find yourself in this? In 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. Why? Because sometimes we get very scared when we see something with our eyes. But God just wants us to trust him. And I want to remind you of Hebrews chapter 11. Moses, he is held up as a hero of the faith. And remember, we went through that passage the first couple weeks. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, by faith, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. And so what he did is Moses, you know, he was raised up, he was put in a basket. Pharaoh's daughter finds him. She brings him into the royal family, okay? But by faith, Moses says, this is not the people for me. Those are my people. And so by faith, he rejected that. And it says in verse 27, by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And so I'm reminded of that song we just sang, Days of Elijah, because, you know, Elijah is one of those heroes of the faith listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And Elijah was being pursued by Jezebel, and he was exhausted, and he just wanted to just die. And so he sat underneath a broom tree. Okay, and he called out to God, Lord, just take my life. Just take my life. But then God fed him, gave him something to drink. He gave him nourishment. He encouraged him. And Elijah got back up and began to live by faith again. And look, it's a beautiful picture of what God expects of us as Christians, as those who follow Christ, where we trust him, where, yes, we fall sometimes. Yes, we find ourselves under a broom tree sometimes just going, I'm tired of all of this. But then God is there. And when we turn to him, who is the author and he's the sustainer of our lives, and we put our trust in him, we put our faith in him, he will encourage us and move us out of that kind of situation. And so we see this, these people grumbling. And listen, faith is like, it's like an operating system, kind of like a computer, right? This operating system. I went online and I went to the Geek Squad, and the Geek Squad has kind of a definition online of what an operating system is. The operating system is the software that supports a computer's basic function. Things like scheduling tasks, executing applications, and controlling peripherals. An operating system, listen to this, brings everything together and keeps a handle on all input and output devices, okay? So faith is like an operating system, and it keeps everything together, and it handles all input and all output, right? It sort of filters all input and all output, and so here's what it would look like, all right? So God does something incredible. Something you should be celebrating in your family, something that you're experiencing, and it's just an incredible time. God has done something miraculous, okay? And you receive that by faith. And it's just, and that's what, if faith is an operating system, we receive it, we interpret it through our eyes of faith, and we respond with faith, praising God. And this, you know, the people were praising the Lord in chapter 15. And then they started to kind of take their eyes off of him again. Well, listen, So the question is, do you have the kind of faith that can keep you depending on the Lord? That can keep you going against the odds, against all odds. Look, Moses did, and hopefully, as we'll see, hopefully next week, we'll start to see how God's people begin to depend on him as well. But if we lose our God perspective, if we lose our faith perspective for whatever reason, if we stop operating in faith, we are no different than the Egyptians. We are no different than the world, than the lost world. He's calling us to be a people of faith. So they saw God's power, and they experienced God's miracles. They watched God provide time and time again for their needs. Because listen, the real miracle is in the journey. It's in the journey that they were taking and the work that God was doing in their lives. You know, he didn't just immediately free them from Israel, or free them from Egypt, I mean. He had them go through some experiences to teach them about his power, to teach them about his provision. And they're not quite there yet. And you'll see he keeps them in the wilderness for 40 years. There's a reason for that. What's the reason? Preparation. It's preparation to prepare God's people for the promised land. So again, life, it's like a school. It's a preparation for the life to come. It's a preparation for our promised land, which is heaven one day. And I hope that you function and you operate like that, because, you know, in a couple weeks, we're going to do a message series called Finding Your Sweet Spot. And it's just kind of finding your place. You know, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing specifically? And this has a lot to do with it. God is preparing you. Are you in tune with that? Well, if you're a person of faith, you will see that. If you're a person who operates and functions in faith, you will begin to see that more and more as you grow, that this is a preparation time. So listen, what are you learning about God as you're living life? Are you not seeing him anywhere, or are you seeing him everywhere? Are you seeing his works everywhere? Because, you know, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, check it out. His works are everywhere. And he's made them plain for all to see, it says in verse 20. So are you trying to carve your own way and make your own way? Or are you trusting him in faith? Are you asking questions like, God, what are you teaching me in this moment? What are you showing me? Lord, I'm going through this right now. What are you teaching me inside of this? I want to see with eyes of faith. I want to see with eyes that trust you. I don't even know how to do that right now. It's so difficult and so stressful. The Jews were obviously fearful. What were they afraid of? The unknown. Where were they going? They had no idea. They wanted the plans to work out just the way they wanted them to. And look, God is so much more than that. You don't want plans to work out your way. Let's just put it that way. You want plans to work out his way. So and this might be you today. I mean, this might be a struggle that you're going through today. And I hope you'll be careful to listen, to just stop and listen, to stop and think, to start looking through the eyes of faith. God, what are you doing? Why are these things happening? Start connecting some of the dots, asking him to show you. In Exodus 17, they complained again about being thirsty. And it says this, but the people thirsted for water, and the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us out of Egypt? They're still saying it. God's still providing. He's still showing miracles. He's operating all around them. They're still not seeing it, and they're still going, why did you take us out of Egypt? We had such good food there. It's unbelievable, isn't it? And that's what a person who's bound does. When we're stuck in sin, when we're slaves to sin, we are utterly blind. And God is seeking to deliver them. I want to draw some attention to something in chapter 15. Before I close, Here's what it says in chapter 15. It says in verse 25, and they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a log, and then God had him throw the log into the water, and that bitter water became sweet, and they were able to drink. And then he says this, listen to this. This is a part B of chapter 15, verse 25. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule, and there he tested them. So here he is, and he's saying, he's creating some standards for them to live by, and he's testing them against those standards, right? Now, this is before the Ten Commandments. This is before the Ten Commandments. Saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God. So he's saying, listen to me. Listen to me. Because I'm speaking to you. Listen to me. If you will listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes. Listen, not in your eyes. Do what's right in his eyes. Okay? And if you'll do that, do what's right in his eyes, and you'll give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord, your healer. I will be that healing God, the God that will begin to repair and build you up. And I will show you, I mean, he continues to tell us, look, here's the standards. If you'll honor them, if you'll listen to my voice and you'll keep my words, okay, I'll lead you to this place of healing. And I really believe this for each of us. It's one of the reasons we have we've started this freedom seminar that we're going to be doing once a semester. We just completed it last semester, and I'll tell you, we were able to see several people, and I've gotten a lot of response from it. And the premise is there's a lot of people in the church who are saved, but there's not a lot of people in the church who are free from their past and healed. And so I want to encourage you, we'll be starting that again in the fall. But listen, I mentioned at the beginning of this message, when you take a journey, you never know if it's really going to turn out the way that you plan. Why? Well, it's because if God is out ahead of you, right, and if you're seeking his will, the journey will play out the way that best prepares you for the promised land. Doesn't that make sense? How this whole thing plays out, it will be what best prepares you for the promised land. Look, only through the eyes of faith. If you're not going to look through the eyes of faith, asking those questions, Lord, what are you showing me? What are you showing me? What are you teaching me? You're not going to see it. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to be a people of faith. Help us to be excited about the work that you're doing in our lives, in our community, and in our world, Lord. And I pray for that person that's here today, that this message will be a message of encouragement to them, Lord, that they'll begin to see through the eyes of faith. And if they have never made a decision to trust you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that they will seek answers with that, Lord. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Here's the one point I wanted to make.